We're in Advent now, and that means we are in the time of church here when we get to meet another person who may really irritate us, John the Baptist. When it comes to people's lists of favorite saints, I don't think that John the Baptist would be at the top of anyone's list. St. Francis, maybe, with love for animals and creation. Peter, whose hard-headedness is sort of endearing, or could make us feel like geniuses compared to him. But as I said, not many people really like John the Baptist. He's an unsettling Old Testament type of prophet who comes on the scene proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Talk about spoiling the Christmas mood. We wouldn't want to invite John to our holiday parties. He would seem an obnoxious and self-righteous intruder in the midst of our holiday cheer. But here's the point. As irritating as John the Baptist may be, as much as he may get under our skin, he has an important message for us. At least that is what the church is saying. It is saying that before we rush to the joy of Christmas, before we receive the great mystery of God with us, we have to prepare for this event through a time of self-examination and penitence. That is, we need to set aside some time to examine our spiritual lives, to look with utmost honesty at all the ways our lives are out of balance, to look at all the ways we are involved in self-destructive behaviors, to try to clean out the spiritual trash, to try to bring about some harmony in ourselves and in our world. While the prophets are often single voices crying in the wildernesses of justice, of injustice, greed and oppression, they call out communities of protesters. As I listen to the modern protesters and the ancient prophets, pay close attention to their images on TV, news, and in print, I ask myself, what prophetic voice calls me out of my comfort zone to join a community of protesters for justice? What would I agitate for with the fervency of a prophet? What would I gather in community to loudly protest? What is the repentance that is calling me to turn around and put the values of the kingdom of God in action in ways that I could never have before? All through our text from this week, God brings the promise that can counteract the darkness we see in the accepted values of our world. God promises through the prophets to bring garments of righteousness rather than sorrow and affliction. Leaders that will refine the character of and will of God's people for the work of building God's kingdom in a way that will be made smooth rather than contentious. There is no ambiguity in John's message, John's purpose, or John's demands. Something far beyond earthly wealth or fame clearly was at stake, and the call to heed his warnings was urgent. In Advent, we too acknowledge that in order for Christ to be born in our hearts, there must first be repentance. Repentance is more than a sin-canceling transaction. When we repent, we admit that the sorrows, the losses, the wounds, the betrayals, and the regrets of our past have made us into someone we don't want to be anymore. We die to that self and entrust ourselves to Jesus. From those shattered places in our lives, Christ brings new life. To put it another way, repentance is the beginning of our resurrection right here on planet Earth. Our past will become that beyond which we have grown. Even the most harrowing, humbling, and cringe-worthy moments of our lives provide the soil from which Jesus nurtures us into eternal life. If we hand the life shaped by our past over to Jesus, Eternal life will emerge from the depths of our day-to-day lives. Samuel Whitefield writes, in an environment devoid of a prophetic voice and a counterfeit peace, a voice shattered the silence and the light burned brightly in the desert. Even the word shattered is too small to encapsulate all that Jesus or John's voice did. Suddenly, the word of God was alive in the midst of Israel again. The voice of the prophet had returned. You never have to advertise a fire. The people went out to see John, and the message he proclaimed burning brightly in the desert. It was very symbolic that they were crossing outside the land of Israel back into the wilderness to hear the word of the Lord, just as their forefathers had. Israel was encountering her God again out in the desert. We need prophets. The people who sit in darkness and deep despair, they need prophets. The people who look around and see destruction and desolation, they need prophets. The people who have no voice, no rights, no hope, they need prophets, because prophets proclaim a new and better way. Prophets are truth tellers to a world longing and praying and looking for glimpses of hope. Our world needs prophets. Prophets are harbingers of truth, of hope, and hope is found in the one whose coming we await. The message foretold by John breaks into our world with deafening silence and shatters the dark of despair with the light of love. Who needs prophets? We need prophets. We need those annoying, nagging nuisances that call us to be better followers of Jesus. As Rachel Held Evans reminds us, biblically speaking, a prophet isn't a fortune teller or soothsayer who predicts the future, but rather a truth teller who sees things as they really are, past, present, and future, and who challenges their community to both accept that reality and imagine a better one. We need the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, because things happen in the wilderness. In the wilderness, the needs are raw and real, and sweet words and hollow sentiment are not enough. We need prophets, especially when we have grown so full of ourselves that we neglect to see the orphan, the refugee, the migrant, the widow, and the stranger. We need prophets to call us back to God, back to a place where hope is found not only in church, but in the world around us, in the interaction of strangers, the joys of difference, and the radicalness of love. Like Jesus and John, we are tasked with holding lightly to the things that do not matter, in order to be open to a hope-filled future to which God calls us. Now, more than ever, our communities, our nation, and our world are in desperate need of the glimmer of hope found in Jesus Christ. Now, more than ever, we need not only hear the cries of the prophets, but to take on the mantle of the prophets. We, as the church, the people of God, the followers of Jesus, are called to claim our prophetic birthright and to be the voice of the voiceless, the hope of the hopeless, and the love of the loveless. Often in the church, we can feel small and powerless, wondering how we will survive, being concerned about ourselves rather than those in need. But God's prophetic voice often falls not on the powerful or the mighty, but on extraordinarily ordinary people who turn the world right side up. We are called to remember that we are not a group of people who believe all the same things. We are a group of people caught up in God's plan of redemption and salvation with Jesus as the center. The question facing us as Christians who seek to follow where Jesus leads and to heed the call of John isn't, do we need prophets? The question we must answer is, are we willing to be prophets? Are we willing to let God's light shine through us so much that we can show the world a new and better way? Are we willing to be prophetic enough to walk out in faith and break bread with people who may not look like us, or talk like us, or vote like us, or speak like us. Because that is the good news that we have to share. That is a prophetic vision that has the power to transform our world. There are prophets in our midst. There's one sitting next to you right now. Look around. Listen. Keep awake. There is still darkness and despair and shattered dreams. There are still sins to be forgiven and enemies to turn into friends. It may not look like it. It may not sound like it. It may not feel like it. But Jesus Christ's love has already won. Light of love and the glimmer of hope has spoken through the gloom. The crooked places have been made straight, the valleys and the mountains made smooth, the rough places made plain. Look, and you will see the salvation of our God breaking through in 1,000 points of light. So tune your ears to the voices crying from the wilderness. Pay attention to the weirdos who speak of good news and forgiveness and repentance and hope. Be the prophet who points to Jesus coming once more into our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.